I have stood on the Mount of Olives and seen the place where Jesus made his so-called triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And if you go to Jerusalem today, you can still see the Garden of Gethsemane on the Mount of Olives, with some olive trees that may in fact date to the time of Jesus. Beyond the garden, you can also see the Golden Gate, the gate that stands over the approximate spot where Jesus would have entered Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives. The present Golden Gate was built around AD 640, but at its base are stones dating to the time of Nehemiah, hundreds of years before Jesus. The story is told that the Muslims, some Muslim leaders in particular, Saladin in 1187 and then again Suleiman in 1541, sealed this gate because of the Jewish prophecy that the Messiah would enter Jerusalem through it. Something tells me this won't stop Jesus when he comes back. Also on the Mount of Olives is a Jewish cemetery. The graves are very simple in appearance, being of plain rock and very sandy soil. And the Jews do not bring flowers to these graves. Rather, they place a small stone on top whenever they visit. Some of these graves and tombs are reputed to date to Old Testament times. Many Jews have wanted to be buried here because they believe the resurrection will begin here when the Messiah comes, according to Zechariah 14:4. Of course, we read about the story of the Messiah's visit to Jerusalem 2,000 years ago in the Gospels, and I want to read to you this morning from Matthew 21, verses 1 through 11. Listen for God's word to you. When they had come near Jerusalem and had reached Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, just say this, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will send them immediately." This took place to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophet, saying, "Tell the daughter of Zion, 'Look, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey.'" The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put their cloaks on them, and he sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and that followed were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heaven!" When he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was in turmoil, asking, "Who is this?" The crowds were saying, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee." May God add his blessing to the reading and the preaching of the scriptures. One of the most striking things about this account of Jesus' entry into Jerusalem is that it reveals that Jesus apparently planned his own parade. Jesus tells his disciples to go to the village ahead of them and get a donkey and a colt tied there. How does Jesus know there will be a donkey and a colt tied up in the village ahead of them? Presumably he knows because he has arranged with one of his friends in Bethphage or Bethany. Mark mentions the names of both villages. Apparently Jesus has arranged. to have the donkey ready for him to ride. Perhaps the phrase, "the Lord needs it," was a sort of password Jesus had given to the friends in order to identify his disciples and let the friends know it was all right to let the donkey and the colt go. Mark and Luke mention that no one had ever ridden on the colt. Presumably, that's why Matthew mentions the colt being with its mother. It was still so young that it didn't want to be separated from its mother. Such an animal, which had never been ridden, was thought by the Jews to be especially appropriate or pure for religious purposes. So why did Jesus ride a donkey into Jerusalem? He did it in order to publicly proclaim that he was the Messiah, the Son of David, destined to sit on David's throne. When David wanted to publicly proclaim his son Solomon as his successor, hundreds and hundreds of years before, he had Solomon sit on his own mule, according to 1 Kings chapter 1. Furthermore, in ancient times, if a Jewish king was coming to make war, he would ride on a glorious charger. If he came in peace, he would ride on a donkey. Jesus is supremely the Prince of Peace, who comes in peace, who alone can bring peace to our troubled world. Matthew tells us that this took place to fulfill the prophecy of Zechariah 9:9, which we read earlier this morning as our call to worship. Matthew uses this fulfillment formula 12 times to relate something from the life and ministry of Jesus back to the prophecies of Hebrew Scripture. The first time Matthew uses this fulfillment formula was in chapter 1, verse 22, in reference to the virgin birth. And the last time Matthew will use this formula will be in chapter 27, verse 9. In reference to the 30 silver coins paid to Judas for his treachery. It is quite possible that Jesus had Zechariah 9:9 in mind when he chose to ride into Jerusalem on a donkey. He was deliberately presenting himself to the Jews as their Messiah, and he was doing so at a most appropriate time. 30 years later, a Roman governor took a census of the lambs slain in Jerusalem on Passover. The number he came up with was close to 250,000. Passover regulations required that there must be a group of 10 people for each lamb slain. That means that 30 years after Jesus entered Jerusalem for the Passover, 2.5 million Jews were gathering in the city for this special holiday. Jesus was deliberately presenting himself as Messiah in his country's capital at a time when millions of Jews from all over the Roman Empire would hear of his claim. So how did the people respond to Jesus' demonstration? Well, first of all, they spread their cloaks on the road in front of Jesus and the colt he was riding. I don't have any palms with me this morning. We'll get to the palms in a moment. But I do have my jacket. And I hope that if I was there, I would have spread my jacket or my cloak on the road in front of Jesus. The story is told of the famous explorer Sir Walter Raleigh walking with Queen Elizabeth I through London one day. As the story goes, they came to a place in the dirt road which had been made rather muddy by the rain. It is said that Raleigh quickly took off his coat and laid it on the ground so that the Queen could walk over the muddy patch without getting dirty. If this really took place, what does it convey? It conveys the value that Raleigh gave to Queen Elizabeth I. By laying his coat on the ground for her to walk on, he was symbolically saying, everything I have belongs to you. And that, in essence, is what the Jews in Jerusalem were saying to Jesus when he rode into the great city on a donkey. Something similar had taken place in 2 Kings chapter 9, verse 13, when the prophet Elisha had Jehu, an anointed king. The people responded by spreading their cloaks on the bare steps in front of Jehu. Then they blew a trumpet and pronounced, Jehu is king! The second thing the crowd did was to cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. John mentions that these were palm branches, and that's where we get the name Palm Sunday from. These palms would have been brought from nearby Jericho, since they were not native to Jerusalem. Had the disciples prepared for just such an action? It would seem so. This too had royal implications. 200 years before Jesus, Judas Maccabeus arrived in Jerusalem after conquering pagan armies, and he too was greeted with palm branches. 1 Maccabees 13, verse 51. Obviously, the Jews who greeted Jesus upon his entry into Jerusalem wanted him to be like Judas and drive the pagans, the Romans, out of their city. A third thing that the crowd did was to shout. And what did they shout? Hosanna means save now. This was a cry for help which people in distress would address to their king or their God. And it's really a quotation from Psalm 118, verses 25 and 26. O Lord, save us. O Lord, grant us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord we bless you. Psalm 118 was part of the great or Egyptian Hallel, which runs from Psalms 113 to 118. A group of Psalms with the theme of thanksgiving for deliverance, traditionally associated with Passover. These Psalms were chanted as the Jews approached Jerusalem for the festival. But the Jews were also sending a coded message to Jesus with this particular phrase. And that message was simple. We want you to save us now from the Romans. Now is the moment. Calling Jesus Son of David was about as specific as they could get in honoring his messianic claim. And Jesus was indeed about to save his people, but not in the way they expected. The meaning he attached to his triumphal entry was quite different from what his fellow Jews wanted. One can imagine, given Jesus' actions and the crowd's response, that the city indeed was stirred. People who didn't know what was going on understandably asked, who is this? And I believe that is one of the most important questions we can ever ask and answer. Who is this Jesus? The crowds answered the question by saying, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. And that answer was correct. But I believe it is insufficient. Jesus was from Nazareth, though he was born in Bethlehem, as Matthew is at pains to point out. Jesus was a prophet, but he was much more than a prophet. Matthew arranges everything just so in his account of Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem, so that there is no doubt that Jesus is claiming to be the Messiah. We need today to listen to the question of this text and render our own verdict so that we would be ready for that day when we stand before Him. All of our choices in this life, everything that happens to us is preparing us for that moment when we stand before Jesus and either say yes to Him or no to Him. What matters most in this life is not the coronavirus, not whether we get infected, but how do we respond to Jesus every moment? How do we respond to Him in this moment? And are we ready to face Him? Because after all, eternity is going to last an awful lot longer than this life. But if our verdict is that Jesus is the Messiah, then we too should follow Him in this life to the cross, to the empty tomb, and beyond. Let's pray. Father, in some ways, as we read this story, the experience of it and our memory of Palm Sunday's past seems so distant from our current experience. And yet this story poses for us the question that is above all other questions for all eternity. Who is Jesus? And what is our response? Father, may we wave the palm branches of our hearts before You this morning. May we lay down the coats of our lives before You. May we surrender the inner temple of the heart. Come in and cleanse us and fill us with Your Holy Spirit, the One who promised to never leave us and never forsake us. Amen.